back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sitnall-Reed, my co-host, Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Greg Kieszkowski. So how did you collect your quotations, Greg? What was the basis of your choice for inclusion in your book? Well, your first volume.
It's a different process. I mandate myself to only write on Saturday and Sunday. Uh-huh. Not because I can't write the rest of the week, but because I don't want the quotes to be the same, and I find in a week's time my life changes. I'm either up or down. I think about this or think about that. And then I either pick authors or people that I admire, and then I look for things they've said, and then I include it. For a while there, I found I didn't have enough women, so I purposely sought physicists and painters and chemists, and I included them in my writing. I looked for native speakers. I look for musicians, I look for clowns, anything and everything, but it all under the lens of reflection and motivation. And
okay, so, but so you didn't pay attention to when they lived or anything like that? You weren't looking to organize it in that kind of way? You were looking to make it very widely based?
Yes, so the organization is me. It's what inspires and excites me in the hopes that what I see other people will find just as valuable.
And how long did it take you to put together this collection? Did you have to obtain many permissions for your quotations?
I researched quotations and their use. So if I was writing a poetry book, I would not be able to use, because I do have Leonard Cohen, I have Gord Downey, and I'm able to sample two lines because I'm reflecting on it. I'm not actually using it as a poetry exercise or using it in a song so I can profit by it. I'm simply using it for reflection. And so I use one or two lines, uh-huh, and then I reflect on it.
Okay, so you're planning to publish a whole series of these quintessential quotables. So how will these be organized? Will they concentrate on different topics, for instance, or are you going to keep that sort of something for everybody?
There are themes. I'm halfway through the seventh volume. So uh-huh, volume two and three are coming out later this year and early next year. But I'm noticing that thematically I speak a lot about insignificance and that the little things matter. I speak about that the time is now to act, sort of carpe diem. So I'm finding that I'm not purposely set out to make them into categories. But now that I stand back, in each volume, you could thematically identify which pieces go together.
Okay, now, how did you publish Quintessential Quotables? Did you do it yourself, Greg?
I did it myself because I'm a very reasonable human being, and I knew no publishing house, having no followers and no experience in writing or publishing, would take me on. And so I decided that, thanks to Amazon, I can do that. But I wasn't silly either. I took a online self-publishing course. It's called Self-Publishing Formula Mark Dawson, who's a successful thriller writer. And he has a series of tutorials and a wonderful community, a very inclusive community of writers.
Tell us a little more the details of that, because people will be interested.
Yeah, it is a phenomenal program. So basically, they open it up, I think, twice or three times a year. Mm-hmm. There are windows where you can sign up for the program. Uh-huh. And then you become part of the community. But it takes you through organizing a website, starting a mailing list, even the cover design, the importance, mm-hmm, of it. My cover was designed by a wonderful, by Stuart Blanche from the UK, who designed Stephen King's covers for the ebooks, and he's designed many great books. But because of the community, I didn't have to look out or research or try things out. I basically took what Mark Dawson said and I followed it step by step. And so I'm still in the process of following that. I'm working on my website and my mailing list and making public appearances. This is one of the reasons I'm here. I'm just working the program. It is, mm-hmm, wonderful. It's not magic. Just because you take the course doesn't mean you're going to be Stephen King. But it's certainly nice to have someone in your voice that will tell you what the right thing to do step-by-step is, instead of trying it out on your own. I mean, there's, mm-hmm, 9 million books published on Amazon, and nobody's read them.
Right.
So it's a tremendous, tremendous program.
So what are the biggest challenges of self-publishing a book like this one?
The two biggest struggles, one is that I'm on my own. When you're with a publishing company, I would imagine that you would have people in contact with you. How are you doing? What do you need? And they have resources that I don't. I'm on my own. I write every day. I don't know if it's any good until I get it to an editor and then I have a conversation. But when I'm writing, it's a pretty lonesome business. The second biggest part is the promotion, that I am involved in absolutely every aspect of writing. And I actually find that really exciting,
mm-hmm.
that I understand and I'm beginning to learn how to connect to my readers, which the publishing company would help you do that in a sense. But thanks to, those were the biggest struggles, is to find readers. Because I'm not looking for someone that wants to read Anne Rice or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I'm looking for someone who's looking for motivational nonfiction,
mm-hmm.
and I need to find ways to find them. So those are the struggles, is to find the reader, but also who do you talk to while you're writing?
That's interesting, and I mean, your challenges are challenges felt by many writers,
mm-hmm.
especially the lonely bit, because
mm-hmm.
however you are publishing your book, you are writing it on your own, and as you say, it's nice to be able to discuss it sometimes with other people. Anyway, how about reading us some more from Quintessential Quotables, Volume 1?
Helen Keller. Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Everything. That is what's at stake when you give in to your fears. So why do you worry so much about every conceivable natural and personal disaster that may swallow you up? Why do you get so frightened and hide from so many things that never come to pass? You live your life in constant fear, but you are no better for it. You fear everything, and perhaps there is much to fear. You worry about acid raindrops, but you don't fear interstellar rocks. You worry about global warming, but aren't concerned about the growing coldness of people's hearts. You fool yourself into believing that you are secure or in control by being busy, by following deadlines, and huffing and puffing yourself to sheer exhaustion. You crave control, search for predictability. You beg the celestial heavens for answers. You turn to mystics, but it's all for naught. You're a small, seemingly insignificant speck in a universal ocean of everything. You certainly didn't ask to be born, but yet here you are on an adventure of unimaginable possibilities. Don't be afraid anymore, and don't live your life in utter exposure. Take life as it is. Respect yourself as the unrepeatable speck that you are. You're in good company. Just look what the little atomic particles can accomplish, and they are insignificant little specks too. When you reach the end of your life, you will take your last breath. You want that breath to be one of adventure and satisfaction. You want that breath to be a moment of gratitude and thanks for the gift of having lived. You don't want to take your last breath, mourn sadly, and weep for what could have been. And the notable quotable is, let your last breath be one of gratitude and thanks, not a broken sigh of what could have been.
Thank you, Greg. Something to think about. So where can our listeners purchase your book? Are you doing any readings locally? Do you do readings of your book?
I'm beginning to.
Okay.
My book is currently available in softcover, as an ebook, and as an audiobook through Amazon and Audible. And I'm planning to, once there are 3 volumes, I will compile them into a hardcover book,
mm-hmm.
so that it's a little cost-effective if someone wants to own all 3 volumes. So that's coming as well.
Right. Seems to be making progress here. So to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.